we've been enjoying the 60s and 70s and 80s, and it has been nice weather. And it's just, I feel like I'm in Ohio again. You know? We're not far from Lake Erie, so you know we get all this cold weather just like you guys do. So, but again, thanks for having us tonight. I'm going to preach you out of Psalm 32 tonight. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn there to Psalm 32. I just realized I didn't mark any of my passages tonight, but that's okay. We'll get there. Psalm 32. Could I invite you to stand for respect of reading God's Word tonight? You know, it's amazing. We look at the life of King Saul, and we see a couple mistakes that he makes, and God pulls the kingdom from him. Then we look at the life of King David, and man, he messes up after mess up after mess up after mess up, but yet he's still a man after God's own heart. Yeah. I'm thankful for the love of God and the grace of God that He shows us when we find repentance. Amen. He's right there to help us with anything that we need. You know, Saul, he refused to repent. He brought some great destruction into his life, a lot of emptiness and a lot of misery. We look at the sins of David. I mean, it seems like David exceeds King Saul by far with the wrongs that he does. But it's a sweet thing that we can get into the Psalms and see David as he comes before the Lord and repents. I don't know tonight, maybe there's something that's been in your life that you've been struggling with or you just haven't let go. Hey, can I encourage you? It's very simple to get right with God. Amen. Don't let sin keep you from that sweet relationship and fellowship with Him. Very basic, very simple message tonight. Now, I got 6 points. That's kind of pushing it for an evangelist. You know, we're three and done. That's kind of how we try to work things. But there's 6 good thoughts that we can pull out of Psalm 32 here tonight. We'll just kind of go verse by verse. But let's read the Psalm together. The Bible says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, my moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place, thou shalt preserve me from trouble, thou shalt compass me about songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse, or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, amen, all ye that are upright in heart."
Amen.
2 words that we can look at here in verse 6, kind of our thought just with everything tonight. But those first 2 words, look what the Bible says, for this, that is our thought tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much, Lord, for loving us. We thank you so much for the Word of God to guide us and direct us in our tough times, Lord, our times when our flesh just takes over. God, I'm thankful that you can always get us back on that straight and narrow path. And I thank you, Lord, for repentance and finding just that forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for every believer that's come here this Sunday night. Lord, if you speak to their heart about anything maybe the devil's trying to hold in their life, that they just simply let it go. Turn to you and, Lord, move forward in their Christian walk. Lord, I pray that you'd meet with us tonight. Lord, just use me as your vessel. Lord, I'm such a prideful, sinful man. And God, tonight, help me not to be in your way. I pray every word spoken, Lord, is of the Holy Spirit. I do pray that you'd meet with us. Lord, put that hedge about us. Drive Satan away. Lord, drive us fallen angels, Lord, the distractions, Lord, mentally. Lord, just things that could be in the way physically here today. Just take those away, that we can be tuned into what the Word of God has to say. Lord, if you don't show up tonight, Lord, it'll all be in vain. God, I know you've been here in the singing already. It's been such a sweet time to sing and just feel your presence. Lord, I pray that you'd meet with us in a powerful way tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated tonight. Our first thought here in verse 1, notice how the Bible says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." Of course, that word imputed, it just simply means charged or put to the account of. He has not charged us with iniquity. And in whose spirit there is no guile. These first two verses here, we can think of the Lord's loving. The Lord's loving. Notice here in verse 1, the Bible says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. We look at that word transgression. It's the act of passing over or beyond any law or rule of moral duty, the violation of a law or known principle of rectitude, breach of command. Can I ask you tonight, are you blessed?
Amen.
You know what that word blessed means tonight? That word means happy.
Amen.
Happy is the man whose transgression is forgiven.
Amen.
Can I tell you tonight, don't let any sin in your life tonight as a believer, because guess what you're going to come to find? That you're unhappy. If I could date you back right around my college years, I remember we were hunting in West Virginia, and here comes this nice deer. I mean, not really a nice deer, just a little forkhorn. And he was nice to me. I mean, if it was brown, it was down, right? You shoot it, put it in the freezer. I just have this fetish with it. Just got to kill every animal that I see. It's kind of a phase in my life. And I still like it, but I don't do it quite like I used to. But, of course, this deer comes by. I'm in college, and in the state of West Virginia, the second buck was like $40. If you wanted to buy a second buck tag, how many deer are you out here? Just one buck, or can you get multiple bucks? Like, Ohio's just a one buck state, but West Virginia, you can kill like three or four of them. But man, I this is 20 years ago, so the statute of limitations is okay if anybody watches me on Facebook. So basically, I shoot this deer, and the next day I'm sitting in the stand. And instead of buying that $40 extra buck tag, being in college and not having any money, I bought the cheap doe tag. First thing in the morning, man, here he comes. I'm talking, he's a world-class West Virginia deer. Monster rack. You never guess what he did. Pulled up in crosshairs. Squeezed off that trigger, and dropped. Somebody in the hunting party there, of course, he checked it in. I made a way to get into the taxidermist. I hung him up. And can I tell you, as I began to get right with the Lord, there were many, I mean, years and years passed by, and I watched that deer hanging up on the wall. That life didn't work out for me, so of course I got hired with the Department of Natural Resources and tried a little different lifestyle. I come to realize that, you can't really be a hypocrite if you're going to work and write people tickets. And so I begin to get convicted, like, that's an old life. Like I said, this is years and years ago. And I've had friends come over that were wildlife officers. And the closer I got to the Lord, the more I just was just disgusted with myself as that deer would hang on the wall. Mm-hmm. Got to a point I didn't want to talk about it. As I got closer and closer to the Lord, I realized, look, you cannot do things wrong and be happy.
Right.
You can't live with sin tonight in your life, Christian, and be happy.
Right.
Finally come to a point in time where I just said, I'm tired of looking at this thing. I pulled it down off the wall. I took it to the back of the house where we had a big old garbage can. And I stuffed him down in the dumpster. Mm-hmm. That was the last time I ever saw. Can I tell you, doing things wrong today, Christian, is not worth it. I get really bothered. We're living in a day where there's believers, and even preachers, believers amongst good Bible-preaching churches that say, hey, it's okay to go out hunting or go out and just drive down the road as fast as I want to. It is okay to break the law. Can I tell you, it's going to bring some unhappiness in your life. We must obey God tonight. We're going to come back to Psalm 32, but look with me. Let's just, what does God say about obeying the laws of the land? The Bible tells us here in Romans chapter 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? You know what happens to a lot of hunters? They're not afraid of the power. They're not afraid of what might come about in their life. And they go out and they live like lost people. They live. Look, I'm trying to win the poachers today. Those who go out and shoot the deer from the road, or they shoot a second deer illegally, or they have their buddy put the tag on the deer, whatever it is, God's called me to help these folks,
yep,
to show them Christ.
And it's just sad. I've been there, and so I'm not trying to condemn anyone. It's an easy thing to do because we please our flesh. But what I'm trying to tell you is when we do those kinds of things, we're not going to be here in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. Now, God will forgive us if we realize, hey, God says that if we don't obey the law here in Romans 13, we can't live a happy life. We can't be right with God. Hey, I got sick and tired of the emptiness of seeing that on the wall. You know what causes us to do that? And maybe tonight you're not the hunter. Maybe there's something else. Maybe you think it's not a big deal to drive 90 miles an hour down the road. Hey, the Bible says that we should be afraid of the power. He's put government in order. Now, I know our government's going in the wrong way. And there are times that, yes, it's okay to not obey our government. Peter is a good example of that.
Amen.
He says that we ought to obey God rather than man because they tried to stop his preaching.
Yeah.
Hey, any time the government tells us that we need to murder babies in the womb or we need to steal or we need to lie, hey, that's wrong. When the government says, hey, you can't profess Christ, hey, we're talking about a different law at that point.
Amen.
We must obey God rather than man.
Amen.
But I've heard some Christian folks try to justify why it's right to go out into the field and break the law. Hey, can I tell you, game wardens will die and go to hell without Christ.
Right.
How can we be a testimony to our government
right.
if we're not obeying God's word?
Amen.
He says, wilt thou not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake.
Amen.
Hey, do you want a clean conscience tonight? Those years and years of sitting on the couch, having my game warden buddy sitting in the living room with me and seeing that thing. My conscience was never easy.
Amen.
I couldn't even enjoy what God gave us to enjoy.
Right.
Hey, God gave us creation. He gave us honey. He gave us all these things. Fishing, all of us. He gave it to us to enjoy. But guess what? We can't enjoy it if we don't do it the right way.
Right. Amen.
That's just an example. Maybe there's something else that you're not 100% doing that you know is not right. Hey, you cannot enjoy life when we just sin against God and do things the way the flesh wants to do. But hey, I'm thankful tonight that we can be happy.
Amen.
Can I ask you again, are you happy tonight?
Amen.
When you wake up in the morning and you drive to work, are you singing a song to the Lord? Amen. Hey, tomorrow during your lunch hour, during that afternoon work shift, hey, are you happy about life? We got too many unhappy Christians today.
Amen.
And the problem is, they're giving place to sin. And they think that it's okay. Wait, the Bible says it's not okay. Notice here, we see the Lord's loving, but secondly, we'll see the Lord's longing. Look with me here in verse 3. The Bible says, when I kept silence. Now, this is David. What part is this? I remember reading some commentaries. We don't know exactly what part of David's life. Some would say different places. But where it is exactly, we don't know. But we know that David has done something that he needs to get right with. And look what happens. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. See that restlessness in David's life? As a believer, when we quench the Spirit, when we disobey God, He longs for us to get right with Him.
Yeah.
And we have this emptiness. We have this peace that's just not in us. Because we're harboring sin in our life. I don't know, Christian, is that you tonight? Is there some sin that maybe has been harboring? You feel the presence of the Lord, the longing. He's saying, hey, I want to have sweet fellowship with you. But yet we hold on to it. Look at how David feels. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring. Man, inside, David's just, he's battling and he's fighting and he can't find that peace a Christian should find when they're walking in the presence of the Lord. If we're not careful, that's the same problem with us. The Bible says, verse 4, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Hey, you know what the devil does to us, church? He makes us think that sin is a good thing and that we can enjoy sin.
Yeah, right.
Can I tell you? You can't enjoy sin. Notice here what happened with Moses. We've heard this very familiar scripture verse. I bet most verses we cover tonight are very basic and very simple. But maybe tonight's just a reminder of what the Word of God teaches us. Hebrews 11, the great faith chapter. Verse 23, this is what the Bible says. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Here it is, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season.
Amen.
Hey, there is pleasure in sin tonight. But if you are a child of God inside, we look at the life of David, hey, you're empty.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a battle going on within your spirit that can't give you joy and can't give you peace. And guess what happens when we get to that place? We get discontent. Of course, we're not happy because we're not living right. But guess what? Those around us, just kind of like I mentioned this morning, those around us begin to get affected. We set our hearts and our minds on something we're trying to accomplish, and yet God, all He's wanting us to do is just confess our sin and get rid of it. We get angry when we don't get our way. And when we get angry, guess what? We begin to talk wrong to our wife. We begin to talk wrong to our children. We're not that testimony in the workplace. We're not that testimony even around God's people. Because we're unhappy. Hear me tonight, church. Sin is not worth it.
Right.
Whatever tonight God might be dealing with you about, hey, confess it and forsake it.
Yeah.
David says, I can't live life this way. He's saying, I was quiet about my sin. He said, and inside, it was just eating me alive.
Mm.
Hey, if you're not careful, just like we mentioned about King Saul this morning, your life could get cut short. Do you realize the children of God wandered 40 years in a wilderness and they never got to see God's promise because they would not obey God? They could have seen the promised land. Hey, there are some big things in the life of every believer tonight that God will give you. He will show you the exceeding abundantly above all. But you can't live with sin. You can't harbor that sin. You can't be happy. The Lord's longing, His desire so much is for you to be right with the Lord. We look at the life of Samson. I flip from Hebrews. Look at James there with me if you're still in Hebrews. I read this verse and, you know, for the longest time I kind of misunderstood it. Look at James chapter 5 with me. Look at verse 20. James chapter 5 and verse 20. The Bible says, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Man, what a good soul winning verse. We want to get out there and we want to convert the sinner so they can be spared from their way. But no, wait a minute. This context is not talking about somebody that's lost. Back up to verse 19. We missed one little word there in verse 19. I didn't read 19. Look at that first word. What does that say?
Brethren.
Who is that? That's the house of God. That's the children of the Lord. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Hey, can I tell you, God had a purpose for Samson's life. And even Samson, he's listed in the hall of faith. Samson had faith. God had a purpose for his life. But you know what Samson tried to do? He tried to do the will of God the way he wanted to do it. And he began to get entangled with the enemy, with the women of the world that God says, there's no place for a child of God to intermingle with the lost crowd. And Samson, of course, he wants to do it his way. I don't know if you've ever caught it, but right at the end of Samson's life, you look at it, man, God gives him back his strength. Of course, he tells Delilah his strength's in his hair. It's not been cut since the day he was born. His strength. God was using him as a prophet to deliver Israel. But he was more concerned about Delilah and the garbage of the Philistines than to just simply obey God. He tried to fulfill his life the way he wanted to. He wanted to serve God according to his plan and his purpose. But guess what? You get to the end of Samson's life, and of course he's among the pillars there. He asked the young man to help him fill the pillars. And his hair had begun to grow back after the Philistines had cut out his eyes. And I used to look at Samson like, man, what? He ended so powerful. He killed more people in the end than he ever did through the will of God. But you know what the problem with Samson was? There was never repentance in his life.
That's right.
As he sat there with those two pillars, you know what he did when he cried out to God? Hey, Lord, give me back my strength so I can avenge these Philistines for my two eyes.
That's
right. It's always about us.
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with repentance. Hey, Samson, how about, oh God, I'm sorry that I sinned against you. I'm sorry that I tried to deliver Israel my way. Samson's in a place that he never should have been.
Right.
And his life was cut short, and then Israel has no judge for some years ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, can I tell you that sin will cause death to the believer tonight?
Yeah. Yeah.
You can have your life cut off short.
Yeah.
I've heard of preachers. I know a guy I know of, his family, somebody that I know, and he passed on into eternity from drug use. As a young man, I believe he might have even been surrendered to preach and be in the ministry. And the world got a hold of him, and he got more focused on the things of the world than the things of the flesh. And today he's no longer living. Took too much of the drugs that put him into an overdose. Hey, can I tell you, sin will destroy our life tonight, Christian. And if we're not careful, we might end like Samson did.
That's right.
We might end in a way that God does not have planned for us. Now, I'm thankful for eternal security. That doesn't change our eternal destination. But hey, there's work to do.
Yeah.
Hey, if we can convert a brother from the error of his way, it'll save a soul from death.
That's right. Amen.
Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe
Amen.
In Bible?
Amen.
Hey, the Lord's longing. He has so much desire for us to be right with Him. I remember just thinking about this thought with sin. You know, sin, there's always pleasure in sin. There's always that desire. Sin always looks good to us, doesn't it? I bet Adam and Eve thought that fruit looked really good until they bit into it.
Yeah.
Sin is so good. One day I was at a nature center. I was out walking, and man, it's the fall time. Leaves are at peak color, just as beautiful as could be. I remember this one lady, I'm crossing her on the trail, and I had pulled out a tract to where we spend eternity on it, and I offered it to her. And she looked at it, and quickly she realized it was something that was with God, didn't want nothing to do with it. She said, I think this is a little piece of heaven right here. And I thought, oh, if she could only see. It looks so good right now because the leaves are in full peak. But just in days, they're going to wither away.
Mm-hmm.
And the forest is going to look as dead and ugly as it can possibly look.
Right, right.
And that's exactly how we treat sin, church. We look at sin and we think, oh, it looks so good. But what we don't know is just a couple days down the road or a couple weeks or maybe even a couple years,
yeah,
it's going to be death and there's going to be destruction.
Right. Yep.
Hey, God longs for His children to be right with Him tonight.
Amen.
Hey, don't let sin get in the way. We see the Lord's loving, the Lord's longing. Thirdly, tonight we see the Lord's listening. Look at verse 5. What a powerful verse. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sins. See, love. Can I ask you, have you ever truly repented? When you do something wrong, maybe you do need to get right with some folks for what you've done to them or what you've said about them or just something that's been against God's law that you need to go and just get right with somebody. But before we get to that place, we've got to get right with God.
Yeah.
We've got to ask God to repent. We're always so worried about what people think, aren't we?
Yeah.
But we talked a little bit about King Saul, but remember King Saul with Amalek. He was supposed to go in and destroy the city. Of course, he disobeys God. And old Samson, as he comes to Saul, or I'm sorry, King Saul, as he comes to Samuel, he says, can you honor me now? He says, I've sinned, talking to Samuel. He says, can you honor me now in front of the people? Saul never found repentance with the Lord. When you read in 1 Samuel 15, it kind of appears like he's trying to get right with God, but he says, honor me now in front of the people. That's how we react, isn't it? We're more concerned about what people think about our sin than what God thinks about our sin.
Yeah.
And we refuse to repent and we refuse to get it right.
Yeah.
Listen, he says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, he says, then will I hear from them. Listen to me, tonight, church. You cannot walk the Christian life with that besetting sin and expect God to bless us and expect to have that happy life mentioned in verse 1. I'm here to tell you that, hey, we can be happy. We can live with joy. We can go to work in the mornings singing about the Lord because our slate's been wiped clean. Hey, He paid it all. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all of that.
Amen.
Verse 6, notice this. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. For this. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I'm praying to God and I can be found. God will hear my prayers and He will listen to me as I call out because of what took place in verse 5. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. It was that sin acknowledgement. It was that repentance that brought him to that place. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto me. Hey, can I tell you something about flooded waters? They're dangerous. They're a place of destruction. There's a lot of Christians today that water rises and that current gets rough and it sucks them under. And their life ends like King Saul. And their life ends like Samson. Because they won't get rid of that sin. There was a time on the water, I remember being called down to the Ohio River. It was one of the counties that I worked in. The Ohio River was high. It was in the spring. The river was moving just as hard as it could go. Cold temperatures were 50 degree temperatures. Two young men got out and they enjoyed the pleasures of the world. They were 17, 18, 19 years old roughly. Got away to a little family camp and, just him and I don't know who else was with them. But it was the one boy, his family owned the cottage there right on the river. And then he had a friend there with him. They go out on the lake drinking. Not on the lake, on the Ohio River. Debris and logs just floating like crazy. Get drunk. No life jacket. No idea what they're doing, and that current took them under. We spent 12 days looking for their bodies. 3 days later, one boy was found. It was crazy. Like, can I tell you something about the world? They don't care about you. Can I tell you something about the media? They don't care one thing about you. All they care about is a story. The first 3 days, man, the media was everywhere. Oh, they were so concerned. The one boy is found. Weeks later, days later, it's like day 11. And the other boy finally comes up and we find him. By the time that second boy was found, they didn't even hardly record it on the news. It was past media. It was past news, something bigger, something better. But yet, that's the way. We're so concerned about what people think about us, aren't we?
Yeah.
Hey, listen to me. The floods of life will destroy you and kill you. But David says that they'll not hurt you. Or this, God's prayer. Well, He'll hear us. He'll listen. He'll forgive us when we truly repent of our sin. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 13 says this, therefore it has come to pass that as he cried and they would not hear, so they cried and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. In the book of Zechariah, what's happening is Zechariah is dating back to Jeremiah and he's saying, hey, I sent Jeremiah to warn you to repent and to turn from your sin. The Bible says, and they refused. Hey, we would be wise to listen to what God has to say.
Amen.
We would be wise to look to the Lord and just simply seek repentance for whatever it is that God deals with us about. Amen. Hey, don't you want to be happy in life?
Amen.
I'm not saying you're not happy tonight. We're just talking, praising in a song of repentance tonight. Can I tell you, as a preacher, you know what I have to do to stay right with God? You know what your pastor has to do to stay right with God? We have to repent when we do wrong.
Amen.
And sometimes we have to go to people that we don't want to go to and say, brother or sister, I did this or I said this and I am sorry. Will you forgive me? I remember when I first began to preach, there was a preacher. I didn't know anything about the ministry. I didn't know. Folks said, are you raising support? How much support do you want to raise? And I just kind of put this number together. I didn't know anything about deputation. I didn't know anything about anything. I knew how to be a law enforcement officer. And so I kind of had a number set in my mind about maybe how many churches we would raise for support. And I was kind of guilty about it, I guess. I don't even know what my numbers were or what I was coming up with. But I kind of had a number set in my mind. And I'm preaching at a church in Pennsylvania. And the pastor comes up and says, how many churches are you wanting to support yet? How many churches are you looking to raise support for? And I'm like, I like 50. Well, in my mind, I thought, yeah, maybe 100, which that number, I don't even know why I come up with that number, because I had no idea what I was doing. It's just something I threw out there. But in my mind, I was thinking 100, and I told the preacher 50. Man, as soon as I did that, the Holy Spirit smote my heart like, you liar.
Yeah. Amen.
You know that's not what's going on in your heart and mind.
Amen.
You know what's worse about it?
Yeah.
In 10 minutes, I've got to get up and preach.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit is just smiting me so hard like, you lied to the pastor, you lied to the pastor, you lied to the pastor.
Come on. Right.
What do you do? I remember he's sitting behind me and I'm thinking, I can't preach this message. I got to get right with the pastor so I can preach.
Right.
Good,
and I opened, I'm thinking, I see a side door, kind of the way the pulpit's set up. And I saw a side door and I thought, oh man, they're singing. Maybe I just pull them off the side right now. There's all this going through my mind. And I get up and I open up the Bible. I didn't apologize. I didn't say nothing to him yet. I opened up the Bible. And in my opening prayer, I'm like, God, forgive me of my sin. Please forgive me, Lord. Meet with us. And I'm thankful God met with us. I'm thankful God still used the message to be a help. But you know what? We know more than the end of that service. And I pulled the pastor off the side. I said, look, brother, I said, I'm so sorry. I did something that was not right. I said this. You asked me this question. I said this. Oh, man, brother, no big deal. It was a big deal to me.
That's right.
Because I lied, I did something against God's law.
Amen.
And I cannot be right with God.
Amen.
Listen to me, church. You cannot be right with God.
Amen.
When you refuse to get things right that you know that are wrong.
Right. That's real.
Maybe you stabbed a brother or sister in the back. Hey, get it fixed.
Amen.
Get it settled. Look at what David says. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Sin is not worth it tonight. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But you know what David says in the next verse? Oh, but God hath heard me. Because he was willing to repent of the things that he had done wrong. And can I tell you tonight, church, that if you'll just learn to find repentance in them simple things. This morning we talked about the leaven, I believe it was. A little bit of leaven in the whole lump. Hey, if we'll deal with it when it's small, we won't feel so stupid when it gets this big.
Amen.
And then we think, oh man, now I'm in a mess.
Right. Yeah.
Hey,
right.
Deal with it when it's little, church.
Yeah.
We see here not just the Lord's listening, but nextly we also see the Lord's leading. The Lord's leading. We can't see God's direction with sin, but look with me here in verse 7. The Bible says, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Hey, I'm thankful for that tonight.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that God will guide us and instruct us in the way that we should go.
Amen.
Of course, we've got to have this book right here. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. But listen, church, we can go through the motions of reading, and we can go through the motions of studying God's Word, and maybe even trying to apply it. But guess what? If we don't back up to verse 5, it's going to be hard for God to direct us.
Yeah.
We're just going to be ritualistic Christians going nowhere because we harbor sin, and we refuse to get rid of it.
That's right. Amen.
Can I tell you, God is faithful to us if we just learn to repent. If we would just learn to trust Him. If we would just learn, hey, when we repent, we can go to that very next verse. And He says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. Do you believe this book is perfect tonight?
Amen.
Do you believe this is a book of exceeding abundantly?
Amen.
Do you think this is a book that will guide us in everything that we need to deal with tomorrow?
Amen.
Hey, can I tell you tomorrow, there might be a flood pop up in your life that you're totally not ready for. But if you have a clean heart and if you're staying faithful in the Word of God, He might, if you get up in the morning and read, God might give you a scripture before you even deal with the difficulty.
Amen.
God has done that to me time and time and time again. I talked to you this morning about losing my job. I remember reading one day, I'd been through like 3 investigations, and I remember I was reading in Psalm there, and He says, I will not suffer thy foot to be moved. What does that mean? Just kind of brushed it off, didn't think. But the Spirit spoke to me. When I hit that verse, I thought, man, why did something just squeeze me right there? I went in the next day to work and I got under an investigation for giving out a gospel tract. Mm-hmm. Had to go to Columbus, had to fight the state about all that. And guess what happened? My foot was never moved during that phase.
Amen.
Now, I told you this morning the day come that God closed the door. But there was a year and a half that I went through investigation after investigation after investigation. I never lost a paycheck. Nothing ever happened to me. I never had time off of work. Typically, they'd put a little piece of paper in my file, just basically like, we warned them of this. One time, they even withdrew the discipline because they messed up so terribly. They realized, man, I'm in trouble. I mean, I stacked all the documents up that they were throwing at me because it was a violation of my civil rights. It was discrimination. There was a lot of stuff going on. Some of you probably are like, why didn't you do something about it? God was closing the door.
Yeah.
I told the pastor today, why fight for something when you're praying for God to deliver you from something?
Yeah.
Guess what? God delivered me, not my way, but His way.
Amen.
All right, we gotta identify with that in life. Look here at Isaiah 55, another very familiar scripture verse. Isaiah 55, let's look at verse 8 there. Isaiah 55 and verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Hey, God will guide us His direction. We've got to learn to be in the book. We've got to learn to not have sin in our life. And when things don't go the way we expect them to, hey, we just trust God.
Amen.
Amen.
We got Christians tonight that are the waters are up to here, and they still can't figure out why they can't get a breath and they can't get it figured out. Hey, have you repented? What is it that's holding you back from that sweet, sweet relationship with the Lord? Can I ask you, how is your prayer life tonight?
Yeah.
How is it with reading the Bible?
Yeah.
There is something sweet about getting into a quiet place where you're not bothered by anything and just talking to the Lord.
Amen.
Not saying, Lord, oh, give me this. Lord, answer this prayer. Just, Lord, I love you.
Amen.
You ever shed
Amen.
Tears just talking to the Lord because how
Amen.
Much you love Him and how much He
That's
loves
right.
you and what He
Amen.
Did for you?
Amen.
There is something sweet about the presence of God.
That's right.
But you know what? A lot of us, we can't experience that. Because if I regard iniquity in my heart,
right.
the Lord will not hear me. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Hey, I'm so thankful for the Lord tonight. There's the Lord's leading. We've got a couple more thoughts tonight. Look here at verse 9. Verse 9, the Bible says, I'm sorry, we're back in Psalm 32. Psalm 32 and verse 9. Be ye not as the horse, or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked. Be not as the horse. Man, there's some stubbornness right there.
Yeah.
Look at what happens in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, kind of talking about Saul again. The Bible says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being king. We see the Lord's limiting. See, we limit the Lord in what He can do for our life because we act like the horse.
Yeah.
We act like the mule. We're so proud of our own strength, aren't we? King Saul, he's going into Amalek and he's thinking, man, look at all the sheep. Man, look at all the good things here. Samuel says it's better to obey than to sacrifice.
Amen.
Saul was looking at the world and he was thinking, oh, look what I can give God. Guess what? We're limited. You know, why is it that God can only operate within our little circle?
Yeah.
You think of, I believe it's in Psalm, the Bible says the children of Israel, that they, Psalm 78, I believe it is, that they limited the Holy One. God could not do those exceeding abundantly things in the life of the children of Israel at that time because they wanted God to operate in their circle. Just like King Saul. Hey, King Saul just needed to obey. Hey, tonight, you know what? We just need to obey.
Yeah.
We look at things and think, oh, this is good for the Lord. Hey, if the Lord hasn't guided us that way, then we don't need to touch things.
Amen.
King Saul, he's looking at Amalek. He's thinking, the sheep, man, we can offer these for sacrifice. Because of his rebellion, the kingdom is pulled from his hand. The Lord's limit. Hey, don't limit the Lord tonight. Jeremiah 33:3 says this, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not.
Amen.
Hey, God is faithful tonight. Listen, look here, lastly, and we'll be done tonight. We see the Lord's liberty. The Lord's liberty. For this When we get our hearts right, man, there are so many things that we see right in our lives. Verse 10 at the end there, it says, "But he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about." Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. I'm sorry, I jumped to the next chapter. "Ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." Can I ask you tonight, church, do you want to be happy? Do you want to live that joyful, joyful life? We get to the end of this psalm of repentance, and guess what? We can be glad in the Lord, but we must deal with the things that God deals with us about.
Amen.
There are some folks that we need to first get right with God, and then we need to go to that person and get it right with them. And I'm telling you, the peace, the chains of sin, even as a believer, we get pressed down and held down. But I'm telling you, there's something sweet when that weight comes off of our shoulders.
Yeah.
We have a joy and fellowship in life. We can't get it unless we have clean hearts. The Bible says, or the word rejoice, it means to experience joy and gladness in a high degree. The Bible tells us in Psalm 23. Why don't we read that? We'll be about done tonight. Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." You can read with me, church. Look at number 3. "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
Amen.
Man, isn't that liberty? That liberty, this is what liberty is defined as: freedom from restraint. In a general sense, applicable to the body or to the will or mind. Hey, there is liberty in Jesus Christ tonight. We're not bound to sin. We're not bound to this world.
Amen.
But hey, we've got to confess it. We got to repent. We cannot live with that sin in our life. I don't know, church. I don't know what your story is tonight. I know this is where God's taking us tonight.
Amen.
And if you're anything like me, we need repentance from time to time in our life.
Amen.
Hey, God loves us, and He wants to give us that victorious life of liberty.
Amen.
And we can find that when we're faithful to the Son. Let's pray. Lord, we love You. I thank You for this psalm here in 32. Thank You for just being so good to us. Lord, I don't want sin to be in my life, Lord. I know this flesh is always drawn to that. God of heaven, I just pray for every person in this room tonight.